from the University of Wyoming, and this work was done by my graduate student, Eusebius Mukwana, who's back in Laramie right now, busily preparing for his defense of this work. And this is our alternative title, Sustainability at the Frontier of Arability, and I think I'll explain what I mean by that. Southeastern Wyoming is really the only part of Wyoming that has enough precipitation to grow anything besides range grasses without irrigation. And this Chugwater area is characterized by lots of conservation reserve and abandoned farms with a few hangers-on. And that's one of our study areas. And then the Alban area is the soil is much blacker, a little higher precip, better growing conditions. So we wanted to look at those two areas and see our main driving question was, you know, why aren't Wyoming producers adopting reduced tillage practices? We know, you know, from many, many studies that reduced tillage conserves moisture and nutrients, and it improves nutrient supply and potential. In Montana, up to 50% or more of wheat producers are using some kind of reduced tillage or conservation tillage. And in Nebraska and Colorado, it's on the same order. In Wyoming, it's something like 5%, according to the Conservation Tillage Information Center. And there's been a hypothesis based on a study a while back that our yields are so low that we just aren't getting enough residue to provide those benefits of moisture conservation. Well, I didn't really want to believe that. I mean, it seems like at this low precip end of the scale that it would be even more important to reduce disturbance and conserve organic material. So that was the push behind this project. Are there real agroecological reasons, or is it a extension education problem? So we picked five different types of cover. Conservation reserve perennial grass, it's basically been in since after the 85 Farm Bill. No-till. And in the drier area, they're doing wheat, oat, chem fallow. In the wetter area, they're doing continuous cropping with no-till. That includes wheat plus sunflowers, corn, and millet, usually. Minimum till, again, in the drier area, it's a three-year wheat, oat, fallow, and in the wetter area, continuous cropping. And then conventional wheat fallow that includes intensive tillage with a moldboard plow, and organic, which is basically, in eastern Wyoming, it's the way Grandpa did it. It's zero input farming of winter wheat for organic. This shows two of our fields. This is a minimum till in Chugwater. You can see the wheat, oat, fallow strips, and this is the no-till wheat, oat, chem fallow. So that's what they look like, 15 by 15 meter plots. We measured total organic C and then these different carbon and nitrogen pools with a mineralizable pools with a 14-day aerobic incubation and then a density fractionation. We also did several soil parameters just to it looks like these soils all pretty much have the same texture and similar pH and other properties across the sites. So our hypothesis is that this slow pool, protected pool, sort of decreases with this intense disturbance and increases this active pool that's kind of, you know, what we thought we'd see going on in both of these precip zones. And indeed, even in total organic C. Now, you can think of this as a gradient of less disturbance to most disturbance. Or if you want to think of a chronosequence, you know, this is the way Grandpa did it. And then these are minimum till, no till within the last 10 years. They've started that. Conventional, as better fertilizers and tillage techniques and herbicides became available. So it's kind of a chronosequence from right to left, and a disturbance, increasing disturbance from left to right. Now, the one thing we notice is that the absolute loss of organic carbon is greater under the higher precip area, but the tillage practices seem to have a bigger effect on conserving or increasing organic carbon and nitrogen in the high precip zone, where they don't seem to be impacting between the no-till, minimum till, and conventional tillage on the low precip zone. But in both areas, the organic approach has really taken a hit. And I think the organic approach is basically what they started doing with crop fallow when they opened the prairie. And so I think that's kind of our baseline carbon after 100 years of tillage. With conventional, you get more biomass because of fertilizer, and I think that's improved the situation somewhat with conventional tillage. This shows these pools as a percent of total carbon. The microbial biomass really jumps up in the, and these are averaged over 3 times a year for 2 years, so on those three plots. We haven't quite analyzed the dynamics through the seasons yet that we collected samples within. But overall, the microbial biomass really sort of spikes in the organic, and I think that's a result of this intense disturbance. At the same time, dissolved organic carbon, an important microbial substrate, kind of dips in the organic production. And I think the labile C content, as a result, probably, I'm just speculating, but as a result of nitrogen fertilizer on the conventional combined with intensive tillage, you really get a dive in the labile organic carbon because it's being utilized. By the way, these couple of graphs are combining both the high precip and low precip sites. Mineral N, a spike again with disturbance. So I think that, and interestingly, the fertilizer didn't seem to really increase what we picked up over the organic. So I think the intense disturbance really drives high levels of available N. And that's probably what makes organic even possible, is they just keep mining that organic material. And this is an index sort of the amount of labile C per unit of microbial biomass. And you can see with the intense disturbance, we got less labile C per unit biomass, meaning that, more complete utilization of that labile C and probably less being stored for longer term. So intense tillage. Now this is our density fractionation. Again, we noticed that the absolute drop was much greater in the high precip than the low precip, the absolute difference from the high to low. And also, again, in the light fraction, the tillage, no-till, seems to be conserving light fraction carbon over any introduction of tillage, and especially the intensive tillage and low biomass of the organic system. In the lower precip, in the lower precip, we're not seeing a big impact by introducing tillage. The minimum till seems to be preserving more light fraction in this case. And, some of these, I think, are management. These guys that are into minimum till and no-till are into it. They're really good managers, and their yields are higher. So even if the soils, it's not reflected in soil quality, they're making more money. We did an economic study, too, and they're making more money than the conventional tillage. their yields are a lot higher, and they're just, they're really into what they're doing. Where the organic farmers are also making more money than the conventional, but they're happy if they get any yield at all, and then they get the premium. especially in the low precip chug water area, they're really actually happy with any yield at all. Occluded fraction, it also seems like any introduction of tillage, you lose more occluded fraction than without tillage in the high precip, but not the low precip. We're seeing a pretty even amongst the reduced tillage approaches and the conventional. And then in the heavy fraction or mineral-associated fraction, that's, I guess, kind of what we expect to see is sort of not a big impact of management on that fraction for this time frame. Oops, sorry. So in conclusion, conservation tillage seems to conserve and build organic matter in the higher precip area, the Alban area. It seems like it really will pay off with respect to soil. But it seems like these guys that hypothesize that we're in part of, you know, that drier part of the wheat production area in Wyoming, we're below some threshold. That seems like it might indeed be the case, and we want to look longer at this. The farms we looked at have been doing minimum till and no-till for maybe 7 years. We'd like to go back and see if that's building over time still. And I would hypothesize that it is, but at this point it looks like, you know, CRP may be indeed the best land use for that in that region. The organic system as it's practiced on the fields we studied really seems to deplete organic carbon in both precip zones. I think it points out, and these farmers are aware of this, that they have low protein problems in their wheat, so they're not getting quite the premium they should for organic wheat. And it really underscores a need for working in some sort of cover crop or soil building management practices, but it's very difficult at this low end of the precip scale to grow anything but wheat and fallow. But we have a new grant based on this seed grant, the results of this seed grant that we're going to start looking more into ways to incorporate soil building crops in with that rotation. You know, the farmers say, well, we've been doing it this way forever. Grandpa did it this way 100 years ago. But, you know, they're at the bottom of some curve of organic matter loss, and they're just, their yields, some years their yields are fairly good, and other years their yields are terrible, and they're just depending on those good yields, but it's totally weather related. They don't have any sort of buffer provided by the soil. So starting next spring, we're going to look more closely at some of these specific impacts. We're going to start some on-farm and continue these on-farm trials, plus start some on-station trials where we can take a closer look at some of these impacts. So with that, I'd have 30 seconds for questions. Yes?
So how common is this almost like organic by neglect approach? Is there anybody else who's successfully using lightning resistance rotations?
Successfully, I don't know. I have heard about some farmers that are starting to. One grant that we got includes a couple marketing specialists, and they've been interviewing a lot of farmers about both upstream and downstream marketing issues faced by organic producers. And one of the downstream issues is this low protein, and upstream issues are just the price and availability of any kind of inputs on the scale of these farms. But for the most part, In some ways, Eastern Wyoming is a good place for organic. We don't have some of the weed pressures or disease pressures that you do elsewhere. But on the other hand, it's really hard to work anything else in. So when they hear the premiums, a lot of farmers, their ears prick up because they're almost doing de facto organic anyway. They can't really, fertilizer doesn't really pay off much. They don't need much herbicides. Weed pressures are fairly low. So It's pretty common, I guess, would be the short answer.
Do you predict any sort of like a long-term study with this that you might hit some sort of equilibrium soil organic matter state under the no-till? Like, do you predict equilibrium, high equilibrium state under no-till?
Well, our original, objective was to look at farms that have been doing it long enough that we'd be looking at that equilibrium, but I'm not sure that's the case. These minimum till and no-till guys, especially in the low precip zone, at the time we sampled, we're doing it for 7 or 8 years, and maybe that's not long enough in that low precip, low biomass area. In the Alban area, the wetter area, they were doing it for 17, 18 years, so I think there, you know, we're seeing that that equilibrium, and it's reflected in that the no-till really does look like it has some advantages as far as soil building, organic matter building, compared to the tillage treatments. So,
thank you.